Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett, as always, getting it started with head coach Tim Murphy. Our time with Tim this week, we take a look back to Ithaca and the Crimson going 2-0 in Ivy League play, and a look ahead to their final non-conference game this week at Howard in our nation's capital. Coach, welcome. It is a 3-1 start. Mentioned 2-0 in Ivy League play. I know you saw Paul McCartney this summer, but I got to quote Ringo Starr, it don't come easy. It hasn't come easy from week to week, but the results have been there for your Harvard Crimson, and you certainly have an awareness as far as the identity of this team and their ability to overcome adversity from week to week.
Yeah, no question, Bernie. Nothing comes easy, and that, I'm sure we'll be consistent with the rest of the season. This, everybody we play has good players, is well coached, and will give us challenges. And again, you know, Cornell was 2-1 coming in the game. We knew they were a good football team, and yeah, had to go right down to the wire. When you consider that they did a good job, if not putting the ball in the end zone constantly, they really did a good job possessing time. They took time off the clock. They were a huddle team as opposed to a no-huddle team. They were sort of throwback, non-shotgun, you know, a lot of behind center. And they took a lot of time off the clock. And if I'm consistent with my memory here, we had only three series in the second half offensive. And we had to go the length of the field, all three series, plus a two-point play to win the game.
Three drives, three touchdowns, and converted two-point conversions in the second half. Key plays on two of the drives, Coach. You had a 9-play 75-yard drive. You had a 10-play 67-yard drive. Common denominator of both were two big, big catches from Kim Wimbley. He had one for 37 and one for 32. And he and Dean are very, very simpatico through the early going of this season.
Yeah, Kim, I think, is the best wide receiver in the Ivy League, Bernie. He's way beyond our expectations for his senior, and part of it is, you know, he's had two major surgeries earlier in his career, dating back to our West Coast trip at San Diego. And he's just so much better this year than he was a year ago, and we weren't sure he could make that leap. But, you know, one of the catches he made on the bang-bang post was just one of the best catches, tough, strong catches I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, I mean, it was special, and that's the way he is. He's really up to the ante, and, you know, right now he's a very tough guy to defend, and that certainly helps us with getting a lot of one-on-ones with the other receivers.
I see him make a catch like that, Coach, and the two of us can draw on history when we spend our time together. You start thinking back to Kyle Morris when you see a play like that, an athletic play like that from a wideout.
Yeah, that's a very good, you know, size-wise, very different, but very good analogy. Those two may go down as, you know, two of our greatest wide receivers in Harvard football history. Obviously, Carl had a lot more consistency because he's never injured. But, you know, we're just very excited about, you know, one game at a time, you know, being able to distribute the ball around, and with the ability we have right now to run the football with Aiden Bourguet and our offensive line, and hopefully some depth, you know, things bode well for, you know, staying strong offensively.
Mention about the distribution, something that you would address coming in, and it was there. Ledger Hatch, big plays from him. He had five catches. Tyler Neville with three. He seems to be emerging. He had a big TD and a two-point conversion catch for you. Scotty Woods, his first career touchdown, is another weapon for you. So it's starting to come in play for Charlie Dean to be able to survey the field and know that he's got a number of good options on any given play.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, Tyler, obviously, and Scotty are two new guys. You know, Tyler, an outstanding tight end, H-back, certainly in the same mold as some of the good ones we've really had. I think over the course of the season, even Montefalco is going to be a guy that's going to be very similar to that. And the diversity of receivers and the ability to really make it challenging for teams to know who to defend, I think is going to help us with becoming a more distributing offense, if you will.
got to mention the two-point conversion play with, as they like to say now, the ESPN word, the trickeration with Joe Young making the throw. Is that one that you were kind of holding back for just the right moment? Because I don't think anybody could have seen that one coming. And to see it as well executed as it was, give credit all the way around.
Yeah, no question about it. I think our offensive staff has done a really good job having those plays ready to go. And, you know, that's something we practice every Thursday in terms of being very specific about the different parts of the field and the different situations we put ourselves in. Every Thursday we try to have every possible situation with the scout team. And so we're running that play at least once a week in practice. And quite frankly, people don't know this, but Joe's a former quarterback that became a wide receiver. So it's certainly it's a natural for him.
Yeah, he's in a position, a comfortable position. You talk about Bourget, tough to not talk about Bourget. An immense effort from him with 163 yards. He finds three 100-yard-plus games. He finds the end zone again, six touchdowns on the year. We talk about some of the best that you've had or the best in Harvard football. He's starting to move into that territory. You know, I mentioned I throw out Kyle Morris as the gold standard at wideout. You and I had talked about after the game, starting to talk about a guy like a Clifton Dawson, who's really the gold standard for your running backs. But Bourget, his versatility for you, Coach, he can go between the tackles and he can hit the home run for you.
Yeah, no question that Jaden's done a tremendous job. And his breakout was a couple of years ago in the Harvard-Yale game when he rushed for 200-plus yards. And having, you know, him and last year, having him and Aaron Shamplin together was really outstanding. But he's coming to his own now. You know, he's a tremendously physical runner. He's got a great feel for where to go with the football. He's a great pass blocker. And the combination thereof makes it really challenging for defenses, especially when we're being diverse enough throwing the football.
You needed all three units, as you talked about after the game. The offense, their ability to finish, the defense ability to get stops and to come up with big plays. None bigger or a bigger game. Leading by example, your captain, Truman Jones. It seems like you could kind of call on one of your defensive linemen from week to week, one that's going to step up in particular. You've had big games from Leskovic so far this year. Griffith was your best guy. Truman Jones, with four tackles for a loss and a sack. He was just absolutely a huge presence for you.
Yeah, Truman's one of those guys that obviously we knew he was a great player and certainly the leader of this football team on many levels. But I'm not sure we knew that he'd be this much improved, you know, going into his fifth year. So our expectations for him have, you know, certainly jumped. And, you know, having the ability to have Nate on one side and him on the other, and if we can continue to get strong play from guys like Thor Griffith, Tyler Hooneman, et cetera, then it certainly bodes well for our defense.
And on the special teams, influence was asserted. Jonah Lapple, his first two field goals of the year, consistent for you, needed it in a game that got tight right down to the stretch when Cornell made it a one-score game late. And none bigger than on the special teams, Coach. You bemoan the fact that it's been an unusual season, as good as you've been defensively in terms of the paucity of turnovers. But that said, you got the big play from the special teams with the block punt and the touchdown. Again, was that something that, from a coaching standpoint, you saw, or something that you thought that you might be able to overload or attack?
Yeah, well, first of all, to your point, Bernie, I think the one thing that's probably been missing from our defense has just been takeaways. I can never remember going through a season going into a game without multiple takeaways, and to have zero, and I base that on the premise that one of them was, the one we do have was on a Hail Mary, you know, certainly is very, very surprising. But sort of filling that niche in the Cornell game was, you know, the tremendous block by Kobe Joseph and the pickup and touchdown by Jelani Manchin. You know, that was just a huge play. It was the game changer, a field play changer, and certainly changed the, you know, the vibe in the stadium.
And that went a long way to being able to rally the team back and just change the feel, change the momentum of the game overall. In terms of guys that you faced this year, and I'm thinking from a defensive standpoint, I mean, Matt Slukar with Holy Cross, formidable. But your thoughts on this young Californian, Jameson Wang, that led that Cornell offense, a guy that you think future of Cornell football that they could build around in terms of him being the fulcrum of their offense for a couple of years to come.
Yeah, he's a scary kid, and he's yeah. better than as advertised, Bernie. And, you know, it's the type of guy that you're seeing more and more in college football, and guys that, you know, have tremendous speed and athleticism and the improvisational skills that are really tough to defend, because everything he does is kind of original when he scrambles or when he keeps the ball. And certainly gave us fits that really, you know, kept him in the game, you know, right down to the final series. And we're seeing more and more of those two kids that are, you know, as athletic as corners and can throw the football. And, yeah, I mean, I should say Yale has a kid that's just like that, scary as heck. This kid is like that. You know, we've got a young player like that in Charles DePriemer, but still, you know, a long way to go in terms of his you know, becoming a full-time guy. But if you don't have an athletic quarterback, you really have to have superlative people that support the quarterback.
Offensive line, we've talked about from week to week, and just a huge day for them in terms of being able to dictate the game. You mentioned only three series on offense, but the fact that you were able to drive impressively, you have a couple of particularly long drives, but seems like they were having some fun. They were in sync. They were firing out, and Bourget was able to, he doesn't need much, but he was able to get those lanes that allowed you to sustain drives and allowed you to be able to take control.
Yeah, I thought it was the offensive line's best game this year, and it needed to be because, you know, they're an extraordinarily different and diverse defense. They give you so much different stuff, and I think that one of the things that really helped us in the second half, we went, you know, we upped the tempo, and we just played faster, and it made it really challenging for Cornell to line up and get into all the defenses they tried to get into, and I think that was one of the reasons, that adjustment at halftime that we made was, I think, you know, one of the reasons we were able to have, you know, put 23, 24 points on the board in the second half with only three drives.
With just the three drives is pretty amazing. That's rather staggering, astonishing if you look at it for overall in terms of how many possessions you'd expect in a half to have at three, but to be able to be perfect 3 for 3. Coach, penalties have loomed large in terms of making life more difficult for your team this year. The way the game is called, once again, we had an opportunity to talk a little bit on Saturday morning, but when you look at the penalty situation, then you look at what's happened in the NFL in terms of protecting the quarterback. There was a couple of controversial calls in the NFL about roughing the passer. What is roughing the passer? You don't want to take the degree of aggression or the degree of an ability for your defense to finish plays, but at the same time, you can see they can almost get a little bit leery or a little bit gun-shy of what they can do in terms of whether there's going to be a flag thrown. And you've been victimized with the relentless play, particularly of your defensive line this year, on some of those calls.
Well, I think the reality is we have no one to blame but ourselves. It's easy to, you know, blame the officials. And, you know, I must admit, Bernie, there's been some calls where I go back and watch the video and say, I just don't get it. What are we doing here?
Right.
But I think the reality is we've also had some very sloppy, undisciplined penalties. And, you know, we've addressed it every game. I addressed it in a different way at yesterday's practice. And, you know, we did about, you know, 30 or 40 up-downs. And I'm not sure that's the answer. But we had a couple really, really egregious ones that is just something we will not tolerate. And, you know, our players are on notice. We're going to be more disciplined. We're going to do a better job with that. And I hope and think that we'll see the fruits of that labor this weekend.
And bringing us to this weekend, Coach, in our nation's capital to face Howard, And a little bit, I think, of the unknown there in terms of their schedule. One of the black universities, the league that they play in, but you do have some degree of comparison with their game last week and what you might learn about this Howard team. They played obviously very tight, competitive game with Yale, who, as we know, is a future opponent. 34-26 loss for Howard. Do you able to find out a little bit more about this team, who's had a rather difficult 1-4 start so far?
Well, I'll tell you, they're a much improved football team from the last time we played them, and they've got some magnificent athletes, Bernie. And you know, I think it's great for us to play an HBCU team. I have so much respect for the history and tradition of HBCU teams, because for the longest time, you know, they were some of the real powerhouses dating back to Grambling University and the great Eddie Robinson.
Yep.
You know, we had a chance, you might remember, to play them in Yankee Stadium with a full sold-out crowd of 50,000 people and somehow upset them, you know, back at Boston University and head coach Rick Taylor. But for me then, it was just such a treat to be able to, you know, meet Eddie Robinson, shake his hand, because for the longest time, that was the only alternative for a black student athlete. It was the only alternative to play Division I football for the longest time, because of segregation and because of, you know, a heck of a lot worse than that. You know, they couldn't even play in the AFL or the NFL. But the reality is it's a really great game for us. We played them when I was at Maine. We've played them once so far. But this will be the toughest game. They're a much improved team, new coaching staff. They competed very well against South Florida, an FBS team. The league they play in and the national HBCU teams are tremendously athletic and really well coached. So this will be another tough road trip for sure.
The Truth and Service Classic. It'll be a 4:00 start at Audi Field in Washington on Saturday. And most importantly, on the Harvard side, it'll be the final non-conference game. And as I say, the Ivy League sweepstakes begins in full the week after with the run to an Ivy League championship for the Crimson and all of the other participants in the Ivy League. So I know you're looking forward to this one, Coach, and then embarking on that Ivy League gauntlet the following week against Princeton.
Well, I guarantee this, Bernie, we're not thinking of whoever the heck we're playing after you know, after
right.
these guys, because Howard's got some great athletes. They've also had 2 full weeks to prepare for us
with the bye.
You know, with a bye week,
mm-hmm.
So we will have the proverbial bison by the tail for sure on Saturday.
Best of luck on Saturday, Coach. Moving forward here, and thanks once again for spending time with us here on Inside Harvard Football.
Thank you, Bernie.
Coach Tim Murphy, our time with Tim this week as the Crimson get ready for the Howard Bison in Washington, D.C. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined by Aiden Borgay, senior running back out of Franklinville, New Jersey, for the Crimson. Has been outstanding so far in the final year at the stadium for Aiden, and is off to a great start, as are the Crimson at 3-1 with their final non-conference game coming up in D.C. versus Howard this weekend. Aiden, welcome to the show. Great to have you join us.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, Aiden, so far this season, it has been a great start for you. Some of the words, some of the superlatives that come to mind, I think we can talk about what you've accomplished, but I'm going to say consistency this year. You have been a consistent, positive element week in and week out. None bigger than last week when you were really entrusted with the rock there in order to secure that win against Cornell. Do you kind of prefer it that way when you get in the reps and you get into a rhythm as you did, particularly as you did with the Friday night lights up in Ithaca?
Yeah, it's always nice getting a little bit of a rhythm, kind of warm up to the game. And then the offensive line does a great job, you know, opening up holes and makes my job a whole lot easier. And when the offensive line gets into a rhythm, it makes it easier for the running back to get into a rhythm.
Well, overall, that's a veteran group that you're working with. Can you give us any insight about that offensive line group? It seems like you guys are very much in sync and have had an opportunity to spend some time working together the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're a great group of guys, and I think One thing that goes a long way is that they're all friends. You know, they're really close friends. And I think that helps to make a cohesive unit on the field, for them to, you know, communicate effectively and trust each other to get what needs to get done, done.
Last year, you were second team All-Ivy, over 600 yards. And it would be impossible for me to spend any time talking to you without referencing the 2019, your Ivy League Rookie of the Year before the COVID season. All Ivy third team as a freshman, you were the Rookie of the Year in the league. I don't want you to look too far down the road. Excuse me for the question. Are you disappointed you're not going to get to play at Fenway Park again?
Well, I didn't actually ever get to play at Fenway, but I'm really really excited for the opportunity to bring it. You know, at Harvard Stadium.
Right.
You know, we love playing home. It'll be the first time since, I think, 2016 that it's a home Yale game. So that'll be really exciting for both the team and everyone who's come to the game.
No, absolutely. I know the guys that were there in 2018, they had that privilege. And I'm just thinking of you. I refer to you as a back who's a home run hitter. That was my reference, to be able to get a chance for the Crimson to play at Fenway Park. I said, I want Coach Murphy. He could have brought his home run hitter there, but I know everybody's pretty excited. It's been so long since the game was played at the stadium. My goodness, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Indeed. As far as the Crimson offense and how you've operated overall as an offense, Aiden, they try to get you the ball, obviously, get the touches. I kind of like you in the game as a receiver also, and I'm kind of hoping that maybe down the stretch you'll be able to get the ball in space and be able to toss the ball to you and give you an opportunity as a pass receiver.
Yeah, I trust in our coaching staff to make great game plans, you know, to have our offense rolling in all phases of the game.
No doubt. And as far as the Crimson season so far, I suspect, as I've talked to people around the program, motivation level has been very high since, I guess, really since day one, since, I guess, the day after the Yale game last year. Give us a little bit of insight about that in terms of what the off season was like and what the training and the preparation has been. There seems to be a real singular focus to everybody in the program.
Yeah, I mean, the goal for us is to win an Ivy League championship, and we know that that comes with working hard every single day. And that's not just during the season. That's in summer preparation. Having a lot of guys, you know, work together on their craft goes a long way. We have a great captain, Truman Jones, and our great coaching staff, all helping guide us to that singular focus, and us, you know, having that team mentality of wanting to get that done.
Indeed the case. Pretty good football bloodlines, I noted. You had a grandfather, Joe Williams. He played in the NFL for the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah.
Great bloodlines there. And in New Jersey, you set pretty much every record at Delsey Regional High School, over 3,700 yards in your career. And you had one season in your junior year where you had over 2,200. So, once again, you're no stranger to getting the bulk of the work, as you do now, with last year being the tandem with Champlin, and now you've had the opportunity to really be the feature back.
Yeah.
And as you look ahead, as the stretch run, one more non-conference game, and then it will be the Ivy League run ahead here for the Crimson. And as you look at getting ready for the opponent this week with Howard down in D.C., what do you know about them and what to expect with defense? A team the Crimson faced, I think it was back three seasons ago.
We're not thinking too much about the game we had 2019. We're thinking about this team this year and what we can do to get better in practice every single day. Coaching staff is putting together a great game plan, and then it's about execution. So it's about focusing on us and what we as individuals and as an offensive unit, as a team, can do better as ourselves to help the team so we can execute at a high level.
Indeed. Got to ask you, I've been making some comparisons about you as a running back to guys that have had success at the NFL level. Anybody in particular that you follow at the NFL level, or are there any backs that you've maybe emulated some elements of their game to put into your game when you're on the field?
You know, I think it's best to try and take different pieces of different running backs and their games and kind of mold it to yours, so you can kind of create your own style and kind of be your own runner. There are definitely different things that I've seen that are really cool, like Alvin Kamara's ability to break tackles.
Right.
Jonathan Taylor has great breakaway speed, and just, you know, Christian McCaffrey has great versatility. Derrick Henry has, you know, an ability to carry the ball 30 times a game and seemingly never get tired. And then there are guys who can make, you know, something out of nothing, like Saquon Barkley. And then Nick Chubb is the definition of this consistency. So those are all guys that I really like to watch and learn from.
Well, as I said, I've referred to you as a home run hitter. I'm a Red Sox fan. That's why I was thinking of Fenway Park. But you've been hitting singles and doubles too, Aiden. You've been doing it all. You've had the ability to make that breakaway run, but also doing that heavy work in between the tackles, and as it was last Friday, allowing the Crimson to control the game on some long drives. So I've been really impressed with your versatility as a runner to be able to handle all situations.
Yeah, a lot of props goes out to the offensive line. They do a great job, great group, you know, making my life a whole lot easier.
Indeed. Well, we look for more of that, and for you to be in sync in D.C. facing Howard this weekend, and then it'll be on to the Ivy League gauntlet and the Ivy League run down the stretch. Aiden, we want to wish you the best of luck, and thanks very much for joining us this week.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a good one.
Aiden Borgay, senior running back, Franklinville, New Jersey. Our Crimson profile, one of our two Crimson profiles this week on Inside Harvard Football. And we have our second Crimson profile this week. We're on the offensive side with Aiden Borgay. Now we're going to head to the defensive side to the captain of the Crimson out of Atlanta, Georgia, defensive end Truman Jones. Truman, welcome to the show. Great to have you join us here.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Truman, off to a great start personally and overall real solid start as a team. You were the leader of this team, the captain of this edition of the Crimson. What about the situation that you find yourself in this season as a captain? You had previous experience as a captain of a state championship team back in Atlanta, Westminster High School. It's always different, the personality of a team. What about this team? Has it been relatively easy to lead this team into battle every week and get them focused and prepared? And, of course, your responsibility began right there in the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing about playing here in the Ivy League is that it's a team full of guys who love playing football. It's a non-scholarship conference, so it's really about your love for the game and your dedication to the team. So we have a bunch of guys who have bought in, wanted to be here over the summer and worked really hard, and now that we've come here during the season, had a great preseason, and everyone's bought in and really listening to our coaches and playing with great technique and fundamentals. And so it's made practice easy, and that energy is there. And now we're directing that energy now into focus and to putting a good product on the field.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned about that whole non-scholarship situation and the dedication. And that's evident from year to year with all the time that I've had with the Crimson program and being able to call the games. You're coming off, had a great season last year, very productive season as part of an extremely deep defensive line. And it was almost, as I said to Coach Murphy, I thought sometimes he was a hockey coach making line changes out there where he could come at you with 8 or 10 defensive linemen. Not quite as deep in terms of experience this year, but the impact on the productivity, Truman, with you and the rest of your cohorts there has certainly come into play with multiple big plays that have been made every week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that comes from really playing within our technique and realizing that we don't have to go out of our way to make plays, but playing with good fundamentals and doing our responsibility, the plays will come to us. So we have the freedom to play within the scheme as well as use our athletic ability and talent to really make some plays and have an impact to the defensive line.
What about the overall identity of this defensive line? A couple of guys have moved on, Jacob Sykes to UCLA, Chris Smith to Notre Dame. Both had a lot of playing time for those programs. But as you've brought this group on, you're certainly the captain, the senior member, and a leader there, and you've brought a number of young defensive linemen into the rotation this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like being under those guys you mentioned, Jacob Sykes and Chris Smith, they really learned a lot in different ways to play the game. And they've grown and used elements of their technique. know, if you can execute at a high level.
But people sometimes don't realize what the commitment you mentioned. It's obviously the Ivy League and focus education, non-scholarship, but the dedication to the game is as evident as it is anywhere. What you guys do during the offseason, I suspect you were probably in Boston for at least part of the summer, if not all the summer this year, to get yourself ready and to get and overall to be able to prepare the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I was here for the entire summer, so working out with the team 4 days a week. We had workouts and conditioning in the morning, and then we'd come back for 7-on-7 and go work in the evening. So it was really a great atmosphere, and everyone was really bought into both things they were doing on this side of the river, so at the stadium, as well as things doing outside of that. The guys worked great internships, were doing research, and still were bought into this team and being able to spend the time and energy in places where it really mattered.
Hey, you mentioned about the internship. Where'd you have the opportunity to spend time this summer?
Yeah, so this past summer I was doing research at the Harvard Engineering School. So I was in the Walsh Lab doing biomedical engineering research for a sports fitness device. So
wow.
Something that was very near to my heart, because just working in fitness and helping people train better and train more efficiently is something that's important. And I'm hoping to create a device that would then be used to help people do rehab or to train better when they're not on site at an athletic facility.
Well, that's great. You had the opportunity fitting right in with your major, which is biomedical engineering currently.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's correct.
Perfect fit for you. And multiple, you mentioned big plays, and you've made some. And I'm thinking back to the Holy Cross game where sometimes it's amazing to watch one guy that can just take over a game in one series. But you had that. You had kind of a one-man gang there that Holy Cross couldn't stop on a key series in that game. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, it was something that was great, and it really gives me the ability to use my athleticism and to get into open field and make plays. And so trusting my instincts and then as well as following the assignments, so that way I'm in the right spot at the right time. It was a great combination of things that came together to get some big stops there in the game.
Do you find the value as the captain now of the Harvard Crimson, very prestigious honor that you've received, that you were a captain not only in football, but a lacrosse star in high school? You had state championships in both sports in the state of Georgia in lacrosse. You were an All-American and All-State, and I'm sure you could draw on some of the experience just to be able to know what it's like to lead a team, to be able to know the mood of the team, and to be able to bring a team along.
Yeah, absolutely. And from those different captain experiences, it's like in lacrosse I was captain as a junior and a senior, and football only as a senior. And so just being able to lead with different techniques, whether it's leading by example and being more soft-spoken, whereas now I'm the sole captain and required to use my voice and implement and bring some energy to the team. And so I take all that I've learned from that and really put that into my spirit and bring that into the energy and passion that I come to the game. And I think that's kind of the main starting point, is I have to love what I do every day and enjoy coming to practice and putting in the work. And then from that, guys will pick up that energy and bring that same energy and focus.
No doubt. And you had a situation also with looking back to your high school career. Once again, great success that you had. And with COVID and everything that's happened, you've been around Cambridge now for quite a while. I think you originally arrived on campus in 2018. So you've certainly know your way around the yard right now.
Absolutely. I've definitely made Cambridge my home and embraced it. it's been a great transition from Atlanta to here, and really just absorbed all of it and tried to make myself as comfortable as possible and really bought into the team and everything that it has to offer. And so they've taken care of me, and now it's my turn to give back and lead.
And not the first member of your family to come to Harvard and receive an education. Your dad, Archie, Harvard B School, Harvard Business School from 1998.
Yeah, so Harvard Business School, class of 98, and that was kind of my first introduction to Harvard, was coming back for a reunion and really fell in love with the campus and kind of the atmosphere here, and knew that it was a place that I saw myself at, and didn't really know that would happen athletically, but once the opportunity presented itself, I took full advantage of that. And so I really enjoyed that time here, become comfortable, and made it a second home.
No doubt. I always ask guys if there's anybody that they emulate or they look to at the NFL level, if it's maybe technique or playmaking ability, what it might be. Anybody in particular that you keep an eye on there is D lineman in the NFL?
Yeah, I think for D lineman in the NFL, I really look at Von Miller and kind of his pass rushing ability and variability and his speed and power. And then as a linebacker, look at Deion Jones and kind of his ability to make plays from sideline to sideline. And so try to implement both parts of their game into my own performance.
Indeed the case. Final non-conference game. You'll lead the Crimson into play at D.C. this week against Howard. Looking back to the first meeting ever between the two schools in 2019, you had a career that afternoon. You had three sacks against the Bison. If they remember your name from 2019, they may be doubling you this week.
that was a special place in my heart. It was one of my first big games as a defensive lineman, and so this ability to play that team again and realizing it's a completely different team. So we have a lot of respect for this opponent and the playmaking ability that they have on the perimeter, and really know that as a defensive line, we have to do our job and put pressure on the quarterback to try and slow some of that down. And so I'm just looking forward to the challenge and really being able to step up to the plate again.
Absolutely. As do we upstairs, being able to follow the action of the Crimson. Truman, want to wish you the best of luck versus Howard, closing out the non-conference portion of the schedule on a good note, and then it will be on. I know you're looking forward to the Ivy League gauntlet then commences a week hence. So all the best to you and the Crimson here moving forward.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
As it was here. Truman Jones, captain, senior of the Harvard Crimson out of Atlanta, Georgia. Our guest, our second Crimson profile on the defensive side this week on Inside Harvard Football.